Late Night Gamers podcast, where we make all of your gaming habits seem acceptable.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve,
you suck so bad, it's so unbalanced, blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting?
Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut up a dragon's head.
Tim.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Late Night Gamers.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 37. I'm Nick Perzanowski, and with me this week and every week is Tib Madden.
Make the tiny man fly!
Steve Morgan.
Boom! Snap into a Slim Jim!
And Charles Caldwell.
Drink your juice!
Charles is literally sitting in an empty apartment with, like, a gallon of cranberry juice right now.
That's a dangerous combination.
It is. At least you have a healthy bladder.
Mm-hmm. It's very important.
You're like Buster on Arrested Development. You just drink all that juice and go into a juice coma.
Get your tired ass cut. Get your white ass out of this country club, you freak bitch! Get your one body out of that ass country club, you freak bitch! That's what it is.
So Charles is sitting in an empty apartment now because he and his fiance purchased
a condo.
Nice.
So we're now homeowners. We are vacating our current residence. Everything was going swimmingly, but the last 2 days were hell, but it's all over now.
Nice. Congratulations, that's awesome.
You just gotta smack people around with the bank a little bit and get things done.
Yeah. People like me.
Yeah.
Come on. Get your shit together.
How much money can you get by doing that, Charles?
Thousands.
Nice.
Charles actually got the bank to pay them for the house. Alright, well, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Let's get into some news. This week a survey went around, and this was on joystick.com, but the survey said that 75% of U.S. core gamers prefer physical copies over digital, which seems crazy high.
Yeah, it was some other like analyst group that did it, and they defined core gamers as someone who either plays on a console or on a PC for at least 5 hours a week. Is what they consider core gamers, but that number still seems like really skewed to me. I don't know. I feel like the PC and they also said that digital downloads have grown by 5% over the last year, so which kind of contradicts what.
I don't know the last time that I bought a physical copy of a game.
Yeah,
I feel like probably it's because. Most PC gamers are also console gamers. They're like, yeah, I prefer it. But for the PC, they probably don't. They're just answering a question.
Well, I mean, Tim and I had this conversation before, but earlier in the week, we were, you know, it was kind of just like, I mean, who were the people that they were actually surveying? Like, did they go out to, like a brick-and-mortar establishment and survey those people? Because if that's the case, then yeah, obviously the people that are going to the store to buy a physical copy are going to be more likely to buy a physical copy.
Yeah. I also think that if you polled PC gamers, 75% of PC gamers would be hoping that they got something more than the actual game in their physical copy. Like, right. If I were to buy two things and you could tell me I could have a digital copy or a physical copy, I'd probably take my chances on the physical copy. Anyways, just, like, hoping that I get, like, some cool manual or something that I can, like, keep. Like, I mean, of course, like, the thing is they cost the same, so, like,
Right.
That, it's kind of a loaded question. Like, do you want something tangible in a game, or do you want nothing in a game? usually people will say yes, but at, like, the way games are now, you don't get anything. So I think most PC gamers have kind of come to grips with the fact that it's, like, not a big deal. I think console hasn't caught up to that yet. Because I think console gamers would definitely say that, because they're just so used to having physical copies and playing most of their games offline, etc. So.
Yeah, and I think in terms of consoles, you know, being able to like trade your games in has always been like a big part of that.
Yeah,
and that has never really existed for PCs. So.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think the other thing with PC gamers too is that, you know, there's 80 million people on Steam, like.
Yeah, something crazy.
Those people are only buying digital, digital copies. So I don't know. I personally buy physical copies because I sell all my games afterward on eBay or I give them away.
Yeah, I mean, I remember like, you know, Steam's kind of coming up to something anniversary, and I just remember back when I first came, when I first joined Steam, I was like really against it. I was like, oh, this is so stupid. I don't want to pay money for something I don't actually have.
Right.
And I think Steam has sort of been like the shining example of me accepting digital copies. And I think it's actually really it's been the forefront, because even games like MMOs, like, wow, we're still selling physical copies for a very long time in a game that, I mean, has no offline component. There's really no reason to have the physical copy other than to save you the bandwidth of having to download it, you know, if you have bad internet or something. So. I think Steam really was pushing this kind of trend, you know, 10 years ago, and I think it'll come to consoles eventually. I mean, it's already sort of coming to consoles, but I think it'll be there eventually. And I think also we sort of touched on this at another episode, but I think that the digital realm will, I think, catch up in the trading market, because there's no reason I feel that you can't trade Steam keys or Steam access. With some sort of ramifications, obviously, because otherwise I could just trade you a game when you wanted to play it or something. And, I mean, there has to be a little bit, or maybe there isn't, because that's what you do with consoles, right? You just give someone a game if they want to play it, and you take it back when they're done. So, I think those things they'll evolve. I mean, I don't see why not.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're absolutely correct that I think this generation of consoles, especially, is really pushing the digital copies a lot more than they were. I mean, Xbox, the Xbox marketplace has always been better than PlayStation Network, but I think they're both. PlayStation Network still has its issues, but I think they're both pushing digital copies, and like, because like they're both boasting, you know, preloading games.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Is the preloading. And I think that, you know, I can remember the defining moment where I really just kind of gave up on digital copies was when StarCraft II came out. I went to, EB Games, and I got the midnight release and everything. And we got there, we got in line, we got the game, we ran back home, we pulled it out, we installed it. And then there was people that had been playing for like 2 hours, and we're like, well, this is really stupid. You know, we could have literally just sat on our asses and drank Mountain Dews. And when 12 o'clock occurred, we could have hit enter and then played. So, you know, I think that this will be the last generation of consoles where you see those games happen, because that's going to happen, right? You're going to want a game, and then your friend's going to preload the game. You're going to go to Best Buy and pick it up at midnight. And he's going to be like telling you how cool it is on your drive home.
and you're
going to be like, that's the last time I do that, because you're just going to throw the CD out when you're done with it anyways. Well, maybe that's not true, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think we're also seeing a lot more, well, now every single retail copy of a game can be purchased digitally on your console too.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, everyone has the option to do it. It's not like, oh, well, this is only retail. And I think we're also seeing a lot more games that are digital only, like a lot of the indie games, you know, aren't going to have a retail release. So, you know, you're going to spend 10, 15, 20 bucks on an indie game, and it's a digital copy, and that's, you know, people are just going to, it's going to be exactly what happened with PC. People just kind of deal with it, and they're fine with it.
Yeah, I think part of the problem too on consoles is like disc-based, because a lot of the console games are like, you know, so the texture, you know, it's all on Blu-ray, so it's like 50 gigs of textures and whatnot. It's huge. And that's compressed, so, I mean, you're going to run out of disk space really fast. And even PC games are insane nowadays, but at least with a PC, like, if you start getting low on space, just throw in that. You buy a terabyte drive for $50 and throw it in there. But you
how
can't
is,
really
do. Yeah, how do you know what's the internal drive space on, like, the PS4?
It's five, that like, the standard one is 500 gigs.
Okay. I guess that's...
You know, it's reasonable.
It's, but it's like, yeah, but if you go on like that, what Tim said, and like Titan, like I know Titanfall on PC is like 40 something gigs. I mean,
yeah.
With that mentality, you can hold 10 games basically. And that's yeah. Kinda, that's not much.
Although I did hear this week, I think Xbox and probably, I'm sure PS4 will follow, is that they're going to start allowing like external storage. So you won't even have to replace the hard drive, like the internal hard drive.
It's interesting for pirating. That'll probably be a little interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know when that's actually going to happen, but I did hear that people were using up to like 30 terabyte drives.
Damn.
I don't even know. Like that's.
Must be some raiding going on there.
Yeah. Anyway. In other news, YouTube is potentially or is going to acquire Twitch for $1 billion. Are they not going to now?
No, they are. It's just crazy. I don't know.
Oh, it's insane.
I don't know if it's been like officially confirmed, but it was initially leaked by Variety, and you know, a bunch of other news outlets picked it up, but I don't know if they've officially confirmed it. And I guess it's been kind of a long-standing rumor too. You know, they had been eyeing Twitch for a while to buy them.
Yeah,
no wonder Twitch was being so active and crazy at PAX. It's like they're grooming YouTube for them to show to all this. Like, yeah, acquire us. Like, yeah. Look at all the stuff we're doing. Look how great we are. And it's just like,
well, I mean, honestly, like, you know, YouTube could have, you know, their video sharing, and then the Twitch, I think, is a larger streaming community than YouTube is in terms of gaming, definitely. But
I know YouTube does have a live streaming part. You know, it has that functionality built in. But I've maybe watched like one live stream on YouTube my entire life.
Right. Same here.
Exactly. And I mean, and the other thing I think about Twitch too is that, you know, the numbers just continue to grow. It's just, you know, it's a booming business, and streaming is becoming more and more popular, so it's probably a good purchase if that does occur.
Yeah. I hope it works out. I mean, YouTube for the most part has been pretty good with what they've done, so I really can't fault them. But I think Twitch has been really, really... I've been sort of getting into Twitch lately. I think that they do a really good job. It's really clean and it's nice, and I have no qualms with it, so I hope that doesn't change, basically. That's about it.
Yeah.
I probably go on Twitch, like, every day. I find it, like, really... You know, some people are just, like, so obnoxiously annoying. It's like, I don't want to watch this person for more than 10 seconds. But sometimes there's people who are, like, really good at certain games, like, that are, you know... Sometimes I like to watch, like, you know, people play Diablo, play, like, certain classes, see how they have their skills set up and their profile and whatnot. Or watch, like, you know, people do, like, arenas in WoW, and you get an idea of, like, how really horrible you actually are. And, you know, just to see other people play, I think can be helpful, but at the same time, I think there's also an entertainment factor. Like, sometimes I just like to, you know, to put a stream on while I do something else just to watch it, because I'd rather watch that than watch, you know, some horrible show on TV.
Reality television.
Yeah. It was interesting to look at some of the numbers on this. So I was curious to see, when Google initially bought YouTube, it was back in 2006, and they paid $1.65 billion. So after inflation today, that would be almost $2 billion, which is pretty crazy in itself.
Yeah.
So then for YouTube than go buy Twitch for $1 billion. It's like half of what Google bought them for.
Yeah.
And I was also interested in the numbers. Like when Google bought YouTube, they had 50 million users, and Twitch right now has 45 million
oh, wow.
monthly viewers. So it's pretty. That's pretty crazy growth.
Yeah, that is.
It's
crazy.
Interesting to think about like how much integration there will be between YouTube and Twitch. Or it seems to me like they would be better off just keeping Twitch as is without doing all of the full Google integration because yeah. they fully yeah. integrated YouTube. But I don't think that would work for Twitch.
No. No, I think yeah. I think it'd be better. I mean, Twitch. It's a game, video game streaming community. So I just don't think it would fit because the whole Google platform is like it's available to everyone, and you know anyone can use YouTube, anyone can use Gmail, I just don't see it as being one of those things.
Yeah.
But
there were a lot of people like. Jokingly saying, I can't wait for the Google Plus integration. But, I mean, it wasn't the end of the world for YouTube, but I don't think they'll do it. And they also kind of, Google just said, I don't know how long ago it was, but they said that they weren't going to push Google Plus as much as they had been in the past. So my prediction is that they won't integrate it like YouTube. Maybe they'll have some aspects the same. I mean, it would be nice to have, like, a single sign-on and not have to, like, you know, be able to link my Twitch account to my Google account so I don't have to log in all the time, you know. That'd yeah. be nice, but...
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't care.
Well, in Pink Eye-related news, the Oculus Rift is going to be coming to Chuck E. Cheese.
There will be feces covering all Oculus Rifts from now on. They'll be forever known as the Pinkulus Rift or something.
Yeah, it's... I don't know about this. I don't know. And anything I... Like, anything but, that... Like, a couple hundred or a thousand, like, small children put their face in...
What is the rationale behind this? Like, I feel like they were marketing it for, like, specialty, like all this stuff, like, prestigious, and then they're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Just put it in Chuck E. Cheese. Like, that's...
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, I mean, the game that they're playing, the game that the kids get to play is, like, some ticket, like, they go through a virtual world and, like, collect tickets or something, and then, like, real tickets come out of the machine after. It sounds lame. Like, it just sounds real bad.
I think anytime there's potential for like a device that will mesmerize children for more than like 15 minutes, parents are going to jump all over that.
Oh, the other thing too. Let's also take into account that some people have been known to get motion sickness from this. So just think of the amount of vomit God. That's going to be all over everything.
Yeah. There's just gonna have to be like Lysol spray and like alcohol swabs, like just in between every use.
It's just gonna have to be like a plastic room that exists in.
They're gonna take it out back and hose it down every night.
Just gonna dip it in like pure alcohol.
It literally just drops down into like a vat of like hydrogen peroxide between uses.
They just like cut the cord and then they just throw it in the trash can. Like, disposable. Does anyone know how much the Oculus Rift costs now? Speaking of this,
was it five?
I know the lower one was like $250 or something. But
was it?
Okay. The bigger one's like $500 or something. Like that.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm aware of. But
I was like thinking about whether or not it was a worthwhile investment. I feel like the cool factor would be so high if you had it. Like everyone would want to like come over and try it and like. it would definitely like be worth the like. I mean, for that reason, right? Like, if you like, you know, all your friends come try it out, but I don't know if it like, it's, I don't know if it's worth $500 if it sucks, right?
Right.
So like, I wish I got to try it at PAX because if it was like cool enough, I mean, I was also thinking like, could you just like use it as like, could you just like sit there at your computer and use it? I don't know, like that'd be kind of stupid, I guess, but like, could you just use it as a monitor? Basically, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I have no idea either. This is like the worst part about Oculus Rift is that we like have no experience with it.
It'd be cool if you could use it as like dual monitors, so one eye saw one.
Oh my god, there would be so much
like instant stigmatism in your eyes. Yeah. Just like your eyes are just like pointing in two different directions. Like by the end, you're like Rodney Dangerfield or something. By the time, yeah.
No respect. The other news that came out fairly recently was the game that I think all of us are pretty much looking forward to is The Division, which has been delayed to 2015. It's a bummer. I think it was originally coming out. Was it originally coming out in the fall?
It was originally going to be a release title, and then
oh
yeah.
That was like a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean this. We've talked about the Snowdrop engine before, but it looks amazing. Like from the gameplay footage that I've seen.
Yeah, it blows my mind that a game that well polished, even in just that small of an area, or whatever they showed, could still so like underdeveloped. I guess.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if it's like an assets issue, like if they need to like design the layout and stuff, or if it's like a bug issue.
Hey, I don't know.
Or if it's like a voice decision based on games that are coming out. They want to make sure they corner the market.
That's true. That could be the case.
It could always be a content issue too. Like it might be easy to develop the engine and you know those type of things, like the dynamics. But then you're like, well, we only have this one street and we have no storyline. I mean, that's kind of like the most ridiculous scenario, but
yeah. Oh shit, did anyone actually make the game?
Yeah,
it sucks though, because that's like, I mean, it's this might sound ridiculous because it's not that great, but this is like the game that I was like, oh, I gotta get a PS4 for this, you know, like it was just like, so cool, that one video, just like the dynamics, true. The interaction.
I thought that this was the counterweight to Destiny, to be honest with you.
Yeah, same here.
If it's not coming out, then it's like, well, okay.
And, so speaking of delays, I think this week we're gonna talk a little bit about the whole game delays across the whole gaming industry and how they affect consumer, how they affect like the consumer's perception of a game and whether or not it's a positive or negative thing. Which I personally think, I think it could be either, but what do you guys think?
To be honest, I think that they should just, if they don't know when it's going to be out, we shouldn't say anything. And then if they give a date, then they should stick to it, because it just sucks when you're expecting a game to come out at a certain time and it doesn't. And I'd rather have the ambiguity of like Valve with Half-Life 3 than a game that you know you think it's going to come out and then it doesn't.
Yeah, it's tough for them though, right? Because they get a lot of steam and they get all the press and publicity and money from you know, going to PAX like WildStar did 2 years in a row or Titanfall did. I think those kind of things really help them, but the problem is you can't do that and say, yeah, we don't really know when we're coming out. We have this demo if you want to try it, right. But, you know, maybe never. So, I mean, I guess I understand. I think the big thing is, I think the gaming industry needs to be a little bit more. I think lately a lot of delays have been disappointing. And I think that, like, they put a lot of pressure on themselves, because when the game comes out, if it's not perfect, now you're like, you've put yourself in this position where it has to be perfect because you delayed so much. And I think they just need to be better about managing and budgeting their time. You know, I mean, it's just a balancing act. It's never going to be perfect, but you can't come up with something that's shit.
Yeah.
However you want to do that, you know, it's tough though, you know, it's like a business, you know. I mean, I see the sides and I understand why it's not that simple, especially if you're like a new developer or something where you don't have the money to just, you know, to just like, you know, do it all right away in the people and things like that. So it's tough. It really
I feel
is.
Like for most companies, it's not as much of an issue, but it's like these large ones that are, they announce that they're going to do a game and then they're delaying it. But for most games, you just, you know that they're going to release it whenever it's ready, and that's fine. It's just that you need, they can't just tell, they can't tell you that the date. Like what I was saying was like with Half-Life 3, I don't think they've given a date. They haven't mentioned it. I don't, who knows if they're even developing?
They
I mean, we assume that they are, but have they given us like September 15th of 2014? No, because they're going to work on it until they're done. Same thing with Blizzard. Blizzard's not going to announce that they've got a date for a game until they...
True, but Blizzard, like, Blizzard's an example of a company who can just tell you that, like, they're working on some game and it will be out, like, when your grandchildren are born and they'll be like, oh, it's coming out! Like, they're just, they have so much leeway that they could, you know, they could delay a game for... They could tell me the game's coming out every morning and I'd probably still buy it when it came out, even if they did it for, like, 3 years straight. Like, they're just... They're an example of a company who do that. I think that the way that the developers right now are like counteracting this problem is they're just having early access, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about this a ton, but like that's the alternative. You go, yeah, the game's out now. It's shit. and play it instead of like trying to make it perfect.
I mean, I think
which has its own downfalls, which we talked about too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Because then once they have your money, what's their incentive to actually care?
I mean, I think a lot of companies are make like when they make a game announcement, they make an estimate of, you know, where are we in the process?
Sure.
And are we going to reach that goal? And they, you know, that's the projected day that they'll come out with the game. But if they hit any snags, then, you know, obviously that's going to change. And I think, especially on consoles, I think having a release day is actually, or at least a release window is really, really important, because otherwise, like, people aren't going to pre-order a game that's like, oh, this is going to come out sometime in the future.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I pre-ordered Dying Light, and I also have The Order 1886 on pre-order, like, fully paid for, and... That's $120 of games that I have no idea when they're coming out.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, Dying Light was supposed to come out in, I think it was supposed to come out this spring, but I think it may have been pushed out either to fall or, like, first quarter 2015.
It sucks.
Yeah. And then The Order 1886 was supposed to be either summer or fall of this year, but I don't think, I haven't heard anything more on it. I mean, granted, E3 is coming up, so... Like, I think a lot of big game announcements will be made then, but, you know, it's tough to, for the consumer to kind of lead them along and, like, for people to put down, you know, so much money and, find out, oh yeah, this game might not come out for another year.
Or not coming out at all.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of things that go into it, and I don't think anyone likes it when a game is delayed. The developers don't like it. No one likes it. It sucks for everyone. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's a little bit more initial pain for, like, more gain in the long run. And I, you know, personally, I'm glad that, like, you know, I mean, I don't know what it was like what it would have been like if they didn't delay it. But, you know, companies like Blizzard, they're always going to delay whatever it is they're working on. But you know that once it finally comes out, it's going to be good.
Right.
And I feel like that, you know, maybe that's like a development strategy or like a just a different work atmosphere at different companies, because some companies will delay games and it will still be shit. So it's kind of like, you know, you don't know what to expect. But generally speaking, I feel like if they delayed it, it was for a reason and it's probably going to be better.
It's the difference between preparation and procrastination for like Blizzard. It's all like, oh, yeah. What about this? What about this? Oh, yeah, we should definitely include that. Okay, let's work on that. And then with some, it's, oh, shit, did we put that in? I don't think we put that in. All right, let's see what we put it in. It's like, oh, the game is still broken.
Yeah.
I mean, the you know, what, like, working in software, there's definitely, like, feature creep, which will destroy things. And then there's also, like, you know, just developer laziness or incompetence that can totally destroy a project and make it run way longer than it should.
I think our regular listener at Shifty 25, he makes a good point. He would say, because I asked the question, do you think that game delays are have a positive or negative effect on the industry as a whole? And he says, I would say neither really at the moment. Developers, and he's talking about next gen consoles or current gen consoles. He says developers are still somewhat learning the new systems and its current limits until the system is optimized and they can do the full potential of the games. I believe a lot of these issues are due to devs wanting to put their games at the best possible, meaning 1080p and 60 frames per second, but the systems are still struggling until they're optimized. So, and I think that does make sense that, you know, it takes a little time to get into a system, but at the same time, like, is it really, like, I think my question is, delaying the game might make it a positive for when it's actually done, it'll be good, and it won't have, you know, the glitches or the major errors or issues that it would have if it came out when it was supposed to, but, like, you know, for Watch Dogs and Drive Club, I know, which were two games that I was actually pretty excited about for PS4, it's like, I feel like the excitement level just completely decreases once the game gets delayed.
Yeah, I think this brings up a really good point that I think we maybe are being a little spoiled and a little, I think maybe we're not giving the developers enough credit that, because if you think about the fact that, I mean, and I mean because of the fact that there's been a switch in gen and that, like, you know, trying to bridge that gap is obviously very difficult. And I think one of the biggest things that makes that more difficult is the fact that when we bridge the gap from PS2 to PS3, I think there was a massive increase in hardware and, you know, the graphical components and some of the other things really overshadowed certain other aspects. Like, that it didn't matter if the game was really cool. I mean, the PS3 games were so much cooler. And I think that just in general, hardware sort of plateaued. And I think PS4 does have really good graphics. Obviously, I'm not taking that away, but I think that people are looking for more than just good graphics now.
Right.
And I think that we're being a little too harsh on the fact that, like, the Switch is going to be a little rough. And, you know, trying to optimize everything from the new system and the architecture and all this other stuff is a little bit more difficult than we can even imagine. So, you know, maybe we won't see this. Maybe this is an isolated incident, so to speak, without so many being delayed.
Or maybe it's not. Just typical of, like, large transitions over consoles. Like,
sure.
N64 to GameCube, from GameCube to Wii, from Xbox to Xbox 360, just...
Code optimization is fucking hard, dude. It's horribly complex, and, you know, to go from that's just on its own. But to go from one architecture to another, that's like a brain melting experience. Like, they, you know, these are people who spent almost 10 years of their lives trying to optimize for the cell architecture and for, you know, I'm pretty sure the Xbox 360 used Spark or something weird. And now they're going switching to x86. It's like their heads are falling off. They don't know what to do at this point. So, yeah. I mean, you got to give them credit for being able to do what they've done in the time they've had. But I think, you know, if you look at, like, the PC side of things, they've been very lucky to have, like, a stable architecture that they could build off for years and years and years. So a lot of games on the PC side, that's just one engine that they've had for 10 years that they just keep building on top of, whereas consoles don't really have that, you know, that stable footing to always work off of. But
yeah, absolutely. And I think that you see the difference too, right, in the PC games that get delayed are typically, I think, not always, but they're typically better because their delays are most likely, because of that reason, content driven or gameplay driven. Like, they're trying to optimize the game itself, make the game better, whereas, like, you might make a game for PS3 and then 1 year into your game development, PS4 is announced, and you're like, well, shit. So now, like, you spend all your time trying to make it for PS4, and then you put it out and you realize the game isn't actually that good because you spent so much time trying. It's just like, it's tough. I mean, that's a huge, you know, snag in, mm-hmm. in the development timeline. I don't know if it's more, if it just seems like it's more or what. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first year of new consoles, and like, I give them credit for, you know, going on and doing all this stuff, but delaying some of these games after hyping them up so much, I definitely think it reduces.
Oh yeah.
Reduces the excitement for consumers. Cause I remember I was really excited for Watch Dogs when it was supposed to be a launch game, and then it kind of, you know, I still pre-ordered and I have it, you know, it's coming next week, but I don't know. It's kind of fallen off a little bit for me, and I'm sure it'll pick back up once I actually pick up the game, and hopefully it is as good as I hope it to be. But
and now you're like, oh, it's kind of like a discard game. It's not necessarily the title game that you're looking for. It's like
right.
the game you get on the side. Like, oh, this game.
Yeah, I mean, there's an acceptable window of delay, right?
Yeah.
There's a certain amount of time. You can delay it a quarter or something. And I even feel like 6 months. But I think once you get, personally, this is my opinion, but I think once you start getting past 6 months, when you start talking about a year, like, that's like a significant amount of time. That's not a delay. That's like a.
That's, we have a new game on our hands.
Yeah, there's like other games that are like announcing sequels that were released at the same time. It doesn't even make sense.
Call of Duty's put out 3 games.
Yeah, it's Call of Duty. Call of Duty's already got a new game.
That's a measurement of time right there. It's
how many
Call of Duty releases? Yeah. It's like, I am 17 Call of Duty releases old. You're 6.
You're delaying at how many Call of Duty cycles?
It's like being born in a leap year.
I remember when it was night.
I remember
Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1.
I remember Call of Duty 2. Holy shit.
That was a long time ago. Another listener wrote in, and he said, at Metal Maniac, he wrote, my initial feeling is negative. My instant reaction to a release date is figuring/preparing for a release 6 months later. Although from a marketing standpoint, your game stays in the headlines more with vague time frames than date than delay.
Yep,
it does.
Yeah,
you know, I completely.
They keep talking about Prey 2, but nothing's come of it.
Didn't they officially cancel it?
Did they?
I think they did.
I'm pretty sure we've like had this conversation like 3 times. It's been resolved 3 different times.
It was probably canceled like years ago. And
pretty sure we're like, oh, isn't it delayed? And then like, no, isn't it canceled? And then like Charles like, no, it's been delayed. He looks up, he goes, it's been canceled. I'm pretty sure this has happened. Like,
see, it makes me so mad.
They got you hooked on that delay so good, Charles, that you're still waiting for that game to come out. You're still at you. They still got you on delay.
It'd be so good if it came out.
They probably will, and it'll probably be like on Facebook apps or something.
Yeah, it'll be like Zeus gods.
Be embedded in Facebook.
So I think that brings us to our top 5 this week. Which
bottom
is
bottom 5.
The bottom 5. The not top 5.
It's always the not top 5.
We do the top 5 worst things. I don't know why we even call it a top 5.
I don't think we've ever done something where it's actually the best things ever.
No.
37 straight episodes, and I think it's always been like the top 5 shittiest games ever, the shittiest person.
I'm pretty pessimistic here, but
it's better that way because you can shit on the whole time.
Yeah,
that's
no one wants to flower up some top 5 shit.
Maybe one of these times we'll do a weekly segment where it's like talking about our actual favorite things, our real top 5, and then after that we'll do our not top 5 and do like their polar opposites.
I like that. The whole episode can just be like each of our top 5s.
Super positive.
Yes. Okay. That's going to happen. We're going to do that.
Okay.
So this week's not top five. The bottom five, as Tim likes to call it. Is
speaking of games that were delayed for more than a year. Duke Nukem was delayed like, what, 10 years? 15
well,
years?
Well, so the list is games that were games that were delayed more than they should have been.
Yeah. And turned out to suck balls.
Unnecessarily long amount of time.
Just go. Do Duke Nukem rant, man.
So Duke Nukem Forever is one that we included because the game was super hyped. They had a booth at PAX. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but it was
many years ago.
It was like 2 years ago.
Was it two years ago?
But regardless, they were hyping it so much. They had released it after 10 years. I think it was 10. And it was just a universal flop. It was like they should have released it 5 years prior, and it would have been the same graphics, the same audio, the same gameplay as it was 5 years prior to when they released it. Still, 5 years after they announced it. So
just, I remember the booth at PAX. It was like huge, and they had like this giant throne, and everyone was like, ah! Ah! And they had like booth babes and shit all around it, and people were like freaking out. And then I was just like, oh.
And then it's like you're playing Duke Nukem, like 3D instead of 2D or something stupid.
Yeah.
Just,
well, yeah. I don't know what I was gonna say about that. I feel like we deserve like some sponsorship from them because we shit on them so much that we're giving them so much press time. Like we're just like, yeah, fuck it. Duke Nukem Forever, the biggest flop, worst game, all these delays, girls being sucked.
Yeah. So the next one is also
I'm gonna play it. Yeah, this game, Aliens Colonial Marines, ugh,
was the worst. It didn't take them 10 years to develop that, and then. It was just terrible. Like Charles and I, you know, played it a long time ago, and we've talked about this on, I think, several occasions. But, you know, the everything, like the whole environment was just so bland. Everything was like exactly the same. There was nothing that really, you know, stuck out. The enemy. I mean, obviously, you're fighting aliens, but like, it's just like. I don't know.
Yeah, it was broken.
It's everything like, was broken and bland. That was the
great combination for the game. Everything's broken. Everything is bland. So you just get infuriated, but then you fall asleep because the game sucks.
When they released trailers and stuff, it looked really cool. It looked like it was gonna be really fun, but I guess it's one of those cases where it just does not live up.
Yeah, definitely not.
All right, number three is actually it's also a number three, Diablo 3.
Mm.
3-3-3.
New meta.
This is so meta, guys.
There was a lot of hate around Diablo 3, like when they first started showing screenshots and stuff, because of the like the art style and stuff like that. And I think a lot of people just kind of resented the fact that they had to wait as long as they did from Diablo 2, and then they were about to get like this wow-eyes Diablo. They were just like, "Fuck this! I don't want to play this now."
Yeah, and also I think there was a huge backlash on the fact that you couldn't play it offline. Like I just remember people were like, "This is the best part of Diablo 2. I still play Diablo 2 when I'm taking like long plane rides. I just bust that thing out and just like grind." I'm like, "That's a pretty good point," but
yeah.
This is the same conversation that I feel like I had like 12 years ago when I went over to Sam Henwood's house, and he's like,
"Oh God,
Diablo 2 had just come out," and whenever that came out, it was a long time ago,
really long time ago.
And he was like, "Oh, dude, you want to watch me play some Diablo 2?" And I'm like, "No, I don't. I don't want to watch you play Diablo 2." And he was like, "Oh, you know, well, we also have the original Diablo, like." We still play that all the time, so I feel like it's one of those games that like people hold on to the previous version for so long.
True.
I mean, I like I think it was just last weekend or, you know, 2 weekends ago or something. It was Mother's Day weekend. I almost bought an actual disc copy of Diablo from a thrift shop for like $1. I was like, oh, I should do this right now.
It was 99 cents.
But really, the reason that Diablo 3 is on this list is because it came out so long after Diablo 2. And, I mean, granted, there were some upgrades, but how much really changed?
This is how I felt about StarCraft 2, too. I know that these games are both great. Like, I love Diablo 3 and I love StarCraft 2, but yeah, I felt the same way. They were delayed and delayed, and I was like, wait, I still have a probe, and I still do mine crystals, and I have a Nexus, which does the exact same shit. Like, what the f... Like, this took how long to make? Like, what...
Yeah, and the interface and skills and everything.
They were, like identical, exactly the same.
Yeah, the keyboard and shortcuts, it's all
there
like...
Yeah.
V, N, whatever. It's just like, yeah.
But, at the same time, Blizzard being Blizzard, the games were, like, flawlessly created. There was really no bugs, no exploits. The storylines were great. I mean, things that other games should get right, like Call of Duty, can't manage. So, even still,
your probes didn't self-destruct if you clicked them the wrong way.
That's true. That did happen.
All right, number four on this list is in the realm of MMOs. It's Tabula Rasa, which was awful.
It's so bad, you probably don't even know what it is.
Yeah, I remember. I don't know if I played in the beta, but I remember like being excited about it when I first saw it because it was Richard Garriott, who the same guy who created Ultima Online it was like his baby, and he hyped it up. I think. The reason I see this game on this list is not because it was delayed so much, but because it was so overhyped that when it finally came out, people expected like this you know, genre-ending game that was just going to take over MMOs, but in the end it was just like this, you know, horrible turd, and no one played it. I mean, it was a cool premise because it was kind of like, it was you know, futuristic in space, or not in space, but like on another planet. And it was like humans versus like these alien creatures, and you know,
Star Wars galaxies.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool idea. It just didn't deliver, you know.
Yeah. So many games fall into that category. It can't even be counted.
Yeah, and it ended up, you know, they turned off the servers like a year and a half or 2 years after it came out.
Oh. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that's the worst case. Like, I mean, it's one thing if the game is bad and, you know, it's like a single-player game that you can buy and, like, remind yourself of why you're not going to buy games from that developer ever again by picking it up and playing it 10 years after the fact. But when it's an MMO and, like, you literally can't play it, like, you spent that money and it's unplayable after a year and a half, that's, like, that is awful.
Yeah, that's really
bad. There's no worse, like, purchase decision than that.
I mean, we talked about like the GameSpy closure, the server closures last week, and the number of games on that list that were just like atrocious were like old, like we couldn't believe how many that people were playing still, like 10, 12 years after the fact, and like the fact that something closes after 2 years, that's...
Yeah. Can't even imagine. I would be so pissed.
So mad.
I'm going to be done playing, buying games from now on.
Give up gaming altogether.
Yeah. I'm done with this.
Number five. Steve.
Oh, yeah, this is mine here. So.
Steve's white whale.
Yeah, this one's Moby Dick. Yeah, I'll just say and then I'll talk about it. So this was the Zelda that's supposed to be coming up for Wii U. It has a name that slipped my mind at the moment, but the real reason that I put this on here, and this isn't even out, so this is kind of pre-speculative. Maybe it'll be the greatest Zelda ever, and I'll look like an idiot right now. But, the real reason is because they when they originally announced the Wii U, they had released some graphic footage of a new Zelda game. as sort of to show off the graphic might of the Wii U. And I was really excited. You know, I thought that that was going to be their launch title. And then I found out it wasn't going to be a launch title. I was like, okay, it's fine. You know, maybe it'll come out soon. And, you know, Wii U's been out for, I think, over a year now. And, yeah, no, there's no sign of this Zelda game. They're still in development on it. But I mean, this was like many years before the Wii U even came out. They were showing this stuff. It turns out it was just like some dude made like a cutscene and like some fan art or something. I don't even know if it's even related to the actual Zelda they made, you know. So, yeah, this should have came out with the Wii U. And it actually may be the downfall of the Wii U, as we've talked about before. So.
Could be a sneak attack, and it could be releasing the Wii X or something. And it's like...
could be a sneak attack, and they release like the sickest Zelda MMO for the Wii U ever, and everyone wants to buy the Wii U.
Zelda MMO, that'd be ridiculous.
That would be ridiculous.
It'd be like the most impossible thing to do because it's like the game, one of the only games where there's like one character.
Yeah, I was gonna say, would everyone be like Link or?
they've actually decided to merge the Zelda and Pokemon universes.
Yeah, everyone controls one move. Everyone's just dropping bombs into the fish and onto a Kuko, and it just kills you because Kuko gets so pissed.
You can be like Link, or you can be Navi, and everyone's like flying around as Navi. Like, listen.
Navi with the
and sword. At some point, you will come across the creature from Pan's Labyrinth, and it's like, Navi? Crunches on Navi's bones. Blood squirts out. Link's just got covered in his face. He's covered in blood. Navi's blood.
This is irrelevant.
Spice of life.
I like it.
That sounds like the best.
I'll play it.
Yep. Anything where Navi dies, I'm down.
Any of those little fairies. Mm-hmm.
They got it coming.
Listen.
That bitch benefited from Ocarina of Time. If it was any other game, that thing would be like...
Yeah.
Navi would have been on like bulletin boards, like APBs with like bullet holes in it and stuff.
I wish after
that game went out, BB gun sales skyrocketed.
I wish Hoggle from the Labyrinth movie was in it. He's just like pesticiding all the fairies. That movie's so good.
God, that movie.
Yeah.
Nope. I went to the movies to see Godzilla. Yeah. Can we go to open forum now since I'm...
yeah, let's do it.
So I went to the movies and I saw Godzilla with Brandon and Mikey last weekend. And at the movie theater in Manchester, New Hampshire, they were showing old movies like on certain nights of the week. And like one of them was Predator, which is awesome.
Oh my God.
Obviously. But one of them was Labyrinth.
Yes.
Like, why? I was like, why not? I was like, I don't want to see David Bowie's like tight ass pants junk hanging out at like a 150 foot screen with all these little monsters like
his codpiece.
So ridiculous. Predator is awesome though. I would watch every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I would pay full price admission to go see it on a big screen.
I'm here, kill me.
Come on, do it. So good.
Gonna have me some fun.
Did you like Godzilla?
Well...
Yeah, or no?
It was so... Well, my brother saw it, and he loved it. He's 17, and he said he's going to see it again. I thought it was so bad, I laughed the entire time. So I actually liked it for that reason. There's a couple times where I had to, like, cover my mouth from, like, laughing out loud. So
yeah. I saw it, like... you know, and I thought it was all right. It just... I kind of had like really high expectations for it, and it definitely didn't live up to it. But at the same time, I feel like it, you know,
better than the last one.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. They could have put a tomato on the screen. This one was like, it's very it's more faithful to the like the old ones.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
You know, like if you like really enjoy like the old Godzilla movies, you'll enjoy this one. The only thing I didn't like about it was like, Jesus Christ, I spent like 5 hours following the people, like people doing things, running around, saying
they only
things.
Showed Godzilla for like 10 minutes total, like airtime.
Yeah. Like I don't care. I just want to see things get destroyed. And I mean there was like a decent amount of good destruction.
Direction,
but,
yeah.
You know, I definitely was hankering for more. You know?
The only
you
thing
were
like,
in for some Godzilla.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you need beatdowns, man. I thought that the movie itself was okay. I thought the fighting and the graphics and all that stuff was relatively good. I just thought the plot line and like cheesiness and like the unscientificness, like which is like fine, you know. Honestly, like you know, I sometimes I get boggled down on the science of things and I go, "This is so impossible." usually though, like I give movies like kind of an artistic license to do stupid shit. Like I'm like, okay, you know. Who gives a shit? Like, you know, Godzilla is made of, like, special fucking shit, and, you know, he can support his own body weight, even though it's, like, completely impossible, and, you know, there's this cavern that's, like, you know, ginormous, that's, like, you know, underground, which is, like, completely impossible. The ground would never support this, otherwise they would just build these type of caverns, like, all the time. They wouldn't even need to be tunnels. So anyways, you know, I'm just, like, letting all this shit go, and then it's the plot line sometimes are just... You know, like, all the main characters are always in the action. Like, this is the most unluckiest, like, main characters in the world. they just somehow happen to be in all the key moments and all the key spots where all, like, the monsters are, and you're just like, you know, I don't know. I mean, I laughed. I mean, there was emotional scenes where, like, people died, and I was, like, laughing my ass off.
I feel like we've had that issue, like, before, like, whenever a bunch of us would go see, like, a horror movie or something, and someone would get, like, ripped in half, and we just, like, start burst out laughing, because it's, and then people, like, turn around, they're, like, just, like, so mad, like, stop it, this is
we're
really,
cheering.
This is really appalling to me.
Yeah, I wish you guys had seen it, so I could, well, I don't want to get spoilers, but it was just, there were some parts, man, that just... That got me good. That got me deep in the gut.
The laughing
diaphragm.
Yeah, I'll probably go see it at some point.
Yeah, I saw it in IMAX 3D, and I don't know if it's worth it to see it in that. But
okay, I was thinking about doing that, but I won't do it now.
Yeah, it's
also kind of weird though, because like it's one of those things where like you kind of go for that experience though. Like,
yeah,
a bit. So
that's what I feel like too. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, I think it was worth it just because it was like. So ridiculous. Like, what other movie is going to be good in IMAX 3D? Like, that's, like, the best, like, mega destruction movie. You know, but it ended up to see it in Chicago for two people was $42. So
Holy shit.
Hopefully it won't be as bad up in New Hampshire, but...
Oh, it would be, like, $16 per...
For IMAX, yeah.
It was $21 a piece here.
Damn.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Expensive right there.
Oof. 42.
What else we got? Anything else exciting happen this week? Nothing exciting.
Nope.
Alright. well then, what are we playing? What's everybody doing? Steve's playing Dota 2, so
yeah,
we can just.
I'm getting so many dude. The prize pool right now it just broke six million.
Yeah, it's huge.
Wow.
And they had to come up because that was the last 6 million was the last stretch goal for like things they could unlock. So they had to unlock a whole another set of stretch goals that goes to like I think 9 or 10 million. I don't think it's going to get to 10 million. I think I'm predicting it's somewhere in the mid eights.
When is the actual invitation?
It's, like, it's got a couple months. It's July 20 something. So it could be done, but I've seen the projections, like I've seen the trend and it's like kind of a logarithmic sort of like asymptotically approaching sort of a
like
value. Plateauing. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think it will. It's gonna be like sort of a linear increase soon. It'll always increase, obviously, but it won't increase sort of at the same speed that it was. I mean, the first 2 days they had like $3 million. It was nuts. So, but they're unlocking all kinds of cool stuff in the game. You're able to like, you know, gain more points by playing random guys each day. And, you know, there's some cool unlockables. So, I got an e-boner immediately.
That's cool. That's crazy that they've raised that much money, though.
I'm excited. I think that, I mean, I think it's going to grow sort of support for the game, and I also think it's going to grow support for, like, the competitive community. Like, they've done such a good job of making this game fun to watch, and, like, there's they implement these things. Like, when you watch the games, you have chances to win items that are related to, like, things that happen. You know, if someone kills some, like, it's multi-kill, like, you get an item, and it'll say on the item, like, for watching so-and-so get a multi-kill, and, like, I mean, like, granted, the odds are super bad, and, like, but it's still, it's just, like, exciting to watch, and you can watch them do things, and, I mean, it's just, there's no other game I've ever seen in my life that has that kind of interaction with the competitive community. Like, it's just, it's cool. It's really, it's awesome. I wish other games were like it.
Sweet.
Cool.
Tim, what are you playing?
I've been mainly just playing a lot of Diablo 3. They just recently had, like, it's crazy to think about it, but it's a 2-year anniversary of Diablo 3. So they had like a big celebration event this weekend where they upped the the legendary drop rate they doubled it basically. So you, like, legendaries are dropping out of all over the place. It was insane. And so many people, it was actually cool. So many people loved it, and there was, like, such a, like, an uproar that they ended up making it permanent. So basically, you know, like, legendary items now have, like, a twice as much of a chance of dropping as they did before. And also, it changed a couple other things. It just made it, like, more likely for there to be, like, rare monsters running around and stuff. So it you know, upped your chance to get gear. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm in, like, the mid 200 Paragon levels now, so hopefully my goal is to hit 300, and then by then Wildstar will be out, so I can just retire Diablo.
I've currently been playing Titanfall and just playing the multiplayer a lot. It's been enjoyable, getting better. Nothing much more there. Still haven't really gotten into Dark Souls 2, so I can't really speak to it. And then bunch of madness in the past week, but other than that, just Titanfall.
Sweet.
Cool.
I have been finishing.
Punishing your body and mind.
Attempting to finish the platinum for Putty Squad, which is just the worst. And I picked up Jack and Daxter 2. On Vita, and that game is pretty hard. Like, in terms of, like, I don't know, the overall difficulty levels is hard because there like aren't any save points or checkpoints. I mean, so you finish a section, and you might die like 10 minutes into a section, and then it'll just bring you back all the way to the beginning of the section.
Right.
That's awful.
So that kills me. And then,
sounds like a different era of gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's an HD remake of, the whatever PlayStation 1 or PlayStation 2 version of it or whatever. But the jumping is horrible. So, like, it's not actually super receptive to, like, so if you press X and then press X again, you double jump, you know? But it's not if you press X and then you, if your timing is off, it jumps once and then it doesn't jump a second time. So
that's the worst.
So in platforming sections, when you're trying to get up, like, a bunch of different things that are, like, moving pieces, and you fall to your death, you have to start the whole section over again, and you basically have to beat like a mini boss and, like, all this other shit beforehand. Oh my god, it's driving me nuts. But in terms of what I'm going to play this weekend, I have Wolfenstein: The New Order in my possession. I just haven't started it yet. I haven't had a chance. I haven't really played that many video games in the past 2 days. So
I keep seeing that. I'm wondering if I should get it.
I've heard a lot of good things about it. The story is actually supposed to be really good, which is amazing. So, and the, you know, the shooting mechanics are decent. So, and that I mean, you know, that's all what I've heard.
Yeah, we both played that a little bit at PAX. So.
Do they have multiplayer?
No.
No multiplayer.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a. Yeah, I don't think the. I remember. I don't think it was the last one that came out, but the one before that I played, and I really enjoyed it. I feel like the story is unique, and it's just kind of like, you know, it's different because there's always some weird like mechanical things, and it gets into like the occult stuff, and it's cool. And this one seems particularly cool because it's supposed to be like in like the 60s, you know.
Yeah.
But they've, you know, the Third Reich took over the world. So it just seems like a really unique storyline.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to play it a bunch this weekend, so I'll let everybody know. 3-day weekend this weekend, by the way. Memorial Day.
It's a nice one.
So, and I only work 2 days this week, then I have Thursday and Friday off because I just wanted to. So
more gaming time.
Yeah, potentially. My wife has Dana has the Thursday and Friday off too, so it's probably...
Damn, less gaming time.
But yeah, that brings us to the end of the podcast. Thank you, Metal Maniac and Shifty 25 for running in this week, and thank you all you other listeners. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Charles. I'm Nick. This has been Late Night Gamers Podcast, episode 37, and it's late. Officially 11:45 midnight. So, yeah. Work tomorrow, so I'm going to bed. I got to go.
Late Night Gamers.
Steve.
You suck so bad, it's so unbalanced. Blah, and then I just quit and never play it ever again.
Carlson.
What do you do in your free time? Sit around knitting?
Screw that shit, I'm gonna cut off a dragon's head.
Damn.
It's okay if your guts spill out and you explode into a bloody mess. As long as you don't take your clothes off.
Gamers.
My mom may walk in at some point, but whatever.
It's fine.
Hey. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. About to record this podcast. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm not doing it right now. I just want to say hi.
You look good. I like this.
You like the beard?
Yeah, it looks good on you.
It's Abraham, Abraham Lincoln.
Huh?
It's the Abraham Lincoln.
It looks good. It works for you.
Thanks. Yeah, I got props. Mad props. Jelly.